The Last Word with Matt Cooper on Today FM.
Amy Malloy of independent.ie, you have been investigating rented accommodation in Dublin and you have found slums, effectively, haven't you? But how many people living in reasonably ordinary houses?
Well, I viewed 7 houses in total, and in each of them there was between 20 and 30 people. One of the worst houses I viewed was a house in Rathmines which had 23 girls living in there. And you walk in the house and the hallway has wardrobes, suitcases, and then one of the bedrooms had 4 sets of bunk beds with 8 girls sleeping in there.
4 sets of bunk beds in one room?
Yeah, and some of the girls didn't even have anywhere to store their clothes, and they were hanging their clothes off the beds and stuffing them in drawers underneath.
And what were they doing for toilet facilities and for showering and for kitchen facilities?
Well, they all had one kitchen between 23 of them and one bathroom and one shower.
One bathroom and one shower between 23 people?
Mm-hmm.
And how much were they being charged?
It was different for each of them. So for the room that had 8 girls in it, they were each paying $350. And then next door to them, there was a room with 4 single beds in it, and they were each paying $450. Now those rooms, the one with the 4 beds in it, they were packed so tightly together, there wasn't even a walkway in the room. So the girls on the far side would have to climb over 2 beds to get into their own bed. That's how overcrowded they were.
You went around Dublin, so what areas did you find such properties?
In Talla, Clontarf, Ranelagh, Rathmines, Dundrum, Shankill, and there was one in Rathfarnham as well.
Okay. Who are the landlords for these type of things? How do they get away with it?
That's a very good question. I think part of the problem is that the authorities get notified about these properties and then they say they'll carry out an inspection, but they're actually sending letters telling these people when they're going to be inspecting them. So the Gardaí, if they were suspecting someone was selling drugs in their house, they wouldn't send them a letter telling you, I'll be at your house at 2 o'clock on Tuesday there. And I think that's part of the problem. I mentioned in the article how these people are actually removing bunk beds, removing furniture, taking down partitions that they put up themselves.
For the inspections.
For the inspections, bring them to a warehouse in Bray and a warehouse in Drumcondra, which I had pictures in the article shown as well on independent.ie. So I think that's pretty much how they've been getting away with it.
John McCartney's with a director of research with Savills. How can this be happening?
Well, it shouldn't be. I mean, there is a definition for what constitutes overcrowding in housing. But for that definition, we have to go all the way back to 1966. And you can see immediately how arcane the legislation is. There are 2 tests to determine if a house is overcrowded. First test is whether 2 unmarried adults of the opposite sex are required to share a room. Now, that's easy to defeat because in Amy's example here of 23 girls living together in Rathmines, because they're of the same sex, they immediately pass
that particular thing. Yeah.
The other test is whether there are at least 400 square feet or cubic feet, sorry, of free airspace per person. Now, how do you measure 400 cubic feet of free airspace? That's very difficult to do. So the legislation is there, but it's arcane and it's very difficult to enforce. But I suspect, actually, that the problem is even more fundamental than that.
But hold on, isn't there supposed to be a system with the PTRB as well, with rent books and the rest of it? So if everybody has an individual rent book and if that information is supplied, surely then the PTRB would see automatically, oh, there's 25 people living in that house, that couldn't possibly be the case. Let's do something about it.
Sure. Well, exactly, and you're assuming that there's full compliance with the requirements of the law. And I think that gets back to the real fundamental issue that in a really acutely undersupplied market, nobody's going to make a fuss. And the only time these come to the attention is when somebody's disgruntled. And
how unhappy, Amy, are the people in these particular accommodations? I mean, because presumably the lack of privacy, mental health issues, there could be other health issues would arise if you had that many people living on top of each other.
I think they kind of feel like they've been left with no option because a lot of the people in the houses, they're from South America, they're earning minimum wage, and with the rental market the way it is at the moment, they can't really afford anything else. So, and a lot of them, I feel, wouldn't be that clued up on their residential rights, so they're kind of afraid to speak out about what's going on.
So they're soft targets effectively for these landlords.
Yeah, so basically the landlords in charge they're capitalising on Ireland's rental crisis.
But of course then, John McCartney, the other issue as well, and this is not to excuse that in any way, but if they are taken out of these places, where are they going to live?
Well, that is exactly it. There's this acute shortage of supply. We estimate that the vacancy rate in the private rented sector is under 1.5%.
What does that mean?
Well, it means that there is effectively no vacant space. So if you find that you're out on the street because you've made a fuss about your living conditions and you've objected to your landlord,
there's simply nowhere else to go.
There's nowhere to go, and that's why people, I think, are probably staying hush about it, and that's a scandal, really.
But who is responsible for enforcing the laws in relation to this, to go in and actually make sure that these landlords can't mistreat people in this way?
It's the local authorities, you know.
And Amy, what have they been saying to you?
They've been saying they're investigating it, they've been carrying out inspections, but as I've already alluded to, these inspections, they're not really painting the full picture because they're not seeing what's actually going on in these houses.
And a listener says, are they waiting for a fire tragedy before something is to be done? Because presumably there must be all sorts of issues in relation to the danger, enhanced danger of fire and things like that.
Exactly. Like with 8 girls in a room, that's 8 phone chargers, 8 hair straighteners. And we saw that awful tragedy in Belgium with those 2 Irish students. And sadly, it often takes a tragedy to instigate action, but...
And you can nearly bet these facilities are probably, the wiring and various other things are probably bad as well in them. Yeah. All right, we leave it there. Amy Molloy, this is on the independent.ie website. Thank you for joining us. And John McCartney, Director of Research in Savills. We might bring you back another day to talk about trying to increase that supply of rental accommodation, what can be done in relation to that.
The Last Word with Matt Cooper on Today FM.